California's governor says he's tripling highway patrol resources in Los Angeles to crack down on the recent string of smash-and-grab robberies at retail stores. It comes as the city announced it is forming a task force.
Today, a major step forward to help fight brazen crimes like these in Los Angeles, where scenes of smash-and-grab robberies have become all too familiar. Most recently at Nordstrom's, where a mob used bear spray to disarm security.
We're talking loads of money lost, you know, $300,000 at individual stores, but, you know, millions in the aggregate, where 20, 30, 50 people descend on a store, break things, rob things, steal, you know, and just run off and drive off. And it's this terrible plague in California and some other places. Joining us now, we have Attorney General for the state of Florida, Ashley Moody. General, welcome back to the Pensacola Morning News.
Yeah, good morning. Great to be with you.
Great to have you. We're going to talk, of course, about the storm and things related to that, and especially what your office has to oversee. But I did want to talk about this a little bit because you see these reports. It's very concerning about California. We haven't seen much of this here in Florida, though, I think. Is that right?
Well, you know, we have been doing a lot year after year to make sure Florida is well positioned to fight back and prevent this type of activity, but it is on the rise. Historically, retailers are saying they have never seen so much what we call shrink. That's a dissipation of their inventory due to theft and other reasons. And really, you can blame it on leadership in these cities and states where they are not enforcing the laws as it pertains to theft. They're saying they're not even going to go after people that don't steal a certain amount. Well, that's like an invitation to steal. And a lot of times they use juveniles to do the work because they know the prosecutors there and others won't do anything to juveniles. And so in Florida, we've taken a completely different approach. As you may remember, 2 years ago, seeing this trend, I launched a statewide task force in addition to a data sharing mechanism so that we can share information with law enforcement and retailers. And we're now breaking up large criminal theft rings. And, you know, it's a testament to policies, having the right policies and making sure those are put in place, but also to the hard work of law enforcement across our state.
Yeah, no, it's good to not see them as much, but as you say, it's still been something of a problem. I was talking to some of our local law enforcement, and one of the things that I learned and didn't realize that I guess in Florida, you know, if you are the shop owner, you are lawfully allowed to detain and even hands-on detain somebody who's shoplifting or stealing from you. You know, typically there's this misdemeanor rule that the cop has to be present and so forth, but particularly when it comes to shoplifting or theft, that we have a little bit more latitude for people who own the property to solve this problem individually until the police can arrive, right?
And a lot of that's going to depend on individual stores. Some have policies where they don't want their employees to get involved. And,
right.
You know, we've seen that become a problem, almost unconscionable. I don't know if you remember in Georgia recently, a longtime employee, older lady stepped in and tried to prevent it and got hurt and really did try to protect her store. And they ended up putting her on leave but brought her back. And I thought that was the right thing to do. I mean, you know, folks that have worked at these places a long time, they're vested in the success. Some of these small stores, but even the larger retailers, they know what it means when product goes missing and these people come in and just take what they want. It means that folks that are law-abiding pay a lot more at the cash register because of it.
Right.
And so, you know, it's important we focus on this. Florida will never, never be what these other states and cities have become as it pertains to retail theft because we have a no-tolerance policy. We're going to go after criminals. We're going to make sure our communities are safe. People feel safe shopping. And that's going to continue to be a priority as long as I'm Attorney General, of course.
Yeah, no, that's excellent. I just don't ever want to see it here. But I feel for a lot of these shop owners kind of feeling overwhelmed and what do you do? And, you know, it's one of those kind of, I don't know, vulnerable points in the system where you wouldn't normally think, hey, the store is going to be overwhelmed by a group of mass juveniles shoplifting at large, massive amounts. But, you know, how do you solve that? And I think the typical Floridian response might be something like, well, they better not do that between me and my shotgun. I'm like, yeah, but you don't want to be in, you know, in the situation where you're shooting somebody who's, merely stealing merchandise, because you got to justify that decision by a real threat of life or limb endangerment. And I mean, just, you know, it's an odd spot in the law. I did want to talk with you, Attorney General, that you recently came to Pensacola and you talked about the horrific state of opioids and fentanyl deaths, and that we are one of the worst counties in the entire state, and that this is a massively growing problem, right?
Absolutely. In fact, we are seizing so much fentanyl coming into the country now. I think just since Biden got in office, we've seized enough to kill our entire American population 30 times over. Now, what was interesting about the medical examiner's district in North Florida, right, where you guys are, that four-county area, the tip of Florida, where it would come over down I-10 into our state, is just within 2 years. We saw such a sharp increase. It's now the number one per capita area for opioid and fentanyl deaths. It's just skyrocketed. In fact, it doubles the state average for per capita overdose deaths. And it really is kind of the tip of where it's coming in. And the first thing we have to do is make sure people are aware. The drugs that folks may have taken in the past, and again, I will always say, not just as Attorney General, but as a mother, as a former drug prosecutor, as a judge, don't use illicit substances. Yeah. It will throw your life so out of whack on a downward spiral, but it is more dangerous now than it has ever been, because they're now being laced with lethal doses of fentanyl. And so I'm hearing from parents every day that are losing kids. They have no idea what they're taking. They're getting something off the street that looks like a Xanax or an Adderall. It's killing them. And so when we say one pill can kill, it's not an exaggeration. It is reality right now. And certainly we appreciate you bringing that to the forefront of people's minds.
Absolutely. I have a follow-up with you I want to ask. You were talking to Attorney General Ashley Moody. Let's take a quick traffic break. We'll be right back with our conversation with her. Candy's got traffic on the fives.
Eli and Compter. It's a three-way intersection, and it is blocked in each direction. If you have traffic tips, text 437-1620, News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
Thanks so much, Candy. Back to Attorney General Ashley Moody. I guess I don't know what the answer here is. That's why I wanted to ask. In philosophy, we always have this concept called moral hazard, which is if you make something that's dangerous safer, you get more of the bad behavior. Seatbelts make people drive more incautiously because they know their life is, or airbags, same thing. We know that Narcan, even though some of the recent additives to the opioids are not susceptible to Narcan because it's a different substance, but Narcan is able to bring people back, and lots of people have their lives saved by Narcan. But at the same time, that's well known. And so people will, I guess, have like Narcan parties, or where they, they're trying to get high, maybe even to the point where they overdose, but they know they can be brought back. Is Narcan causing more moral hazard kind of problems than it's really solving? What's your opinion about that?
I think it's important that our first responders have Narcan on hand always. In fact, we've set up programs. I have one that we just launched recently called Helping Heroes that makes sure that they are stocked with those, that their agencies can sign up to get Narcan. There are so many deaths that occur, even when folks are there's an attempt to revive someone using naloxone, which is what Narcan is. But that it is no guarantee. And with other drugs coming on the market where they're being where fentanyl or a synthetic heroin is or opioid is being mixed, if there's no guarantee it's going to be effective. There's new drugs called Trank, xylazine, which if you take it in some ways it mutes the effect of Narcan or naloxone. And so, I don't believe that anyone would take more at thinking that they're going to be brought back by Narcan because it's not a fail-safe. In fact, I would encourage any agency, first responding agency, that doesn't have it on hand to consider that. At this point, the sheer volume of fentanyl in our country and its potency is having a devastating effect. And I just want to put this in perspective. In 1984, when Nancy Reagan first said, just say no. We were only losing 3,200 people nationwide to overdose deaths. Fast forward to now, in the present, where I'm saying, please don't use drugs. One pill will kill. We are losing 110,000 people a year.
And yeah, so it's unimaginable.
We have to start working outside our comfort zone, taking drastic steps. We are at a crisis.
Yeah, I completely, and it is. I mean, it's when you start thinking about those numbers, then compared to now, it is just about unfathomable. Last thing that I wanted to ask you about, Attorney General Ashley Moody, is obviously we have this storm. Idalia is coming towards the Big Bend area. How is your office preparing for that? What does your office do in order to prepare for that? I would imagine that the primary things you have to deal with are, allegations involving looting, price gouging, that kind of stuff, storm supply preparation. But you tell me, what do you guys have to do to prepare for this?
Right. And so we have activated our price gouging hotline in all counties that have a state of emergency right now. And what that means is folks need to stock up, right? They can go on our website, myfloridalegal.com, download a hurricane guide. It'll tell you everything you need, water, food, can openers that are electric, flashlights, batteries, all of those things. But what those are considered are essential items. And when there's a state of emergency, the law bars people from charging an unconscionable price for these essential items. Just taking advantage of people because we happen to be in an emergency. And so we're on alert for that. We have a price gouging hotline, 1-866-9-NO-SCAM. We have an app you can download, No Scam, which allows you to put in the right information so we can stop that as soon as it's reported. We review all of those complaints. And so we have rapid response teams right now. If someone were to report price gouging as they're preparing, we would be able to respond. And of course, we are incredibly vigilant after a storm, making sure there aren't folks coming in, taking advantage of people at their most vulnerable time that have had damage. And so, it really is a joint effort. We do all of these things. We have people at the ready, but we have to have the public talking to us so we can do our job. So that's incredibly important.
Well, Attorney General Ashley Moody, always good to talk to you. Thank you so much for the time this morning. I wasn't even sure if we'd be able to fulfill the scheduling just because of the storm pending and, all the various extra duties that you guys in the cabinet would have to take on because of that. But I really do appreciate the time. I thank you for the work on law and order, of course, essential, the backbone of the society of what Florida really is today. So thank you so much, and we'll talk to you again soon.
Great, Andrew. Have a great day.